Brilliant. So we've spent some time this last season in the evening services re-reminding ourselves about there's some basic truths about who God is and how he loves us. You are loved so very much, so much so that Jesus died for you. You have a place, you have a purpose. And I hope as this message has been communicated over these past few weeks that it's seeped into your soul in new ways, that it's wormed its way into your heart, that it's percolated, that's my new favorite word, percolated into your thought life. I hope it's made a difference. You are loved. Repeat to the person sitting next to you, I am loved. Yeah, none of you sounded like you meant that. Not a single one of you. Okay. So I just wanted to add one more thing, kind of, to the series. And it's something that I don't think I've got fully sussed yet. I have been a Christian 31 years. Oh, I'm so very old. 31 years. Some of you haven't not been born anywhere near 31 years. 31 years of walking with Jesus, and I'm not quite sure I've got what I'm talking about sussed yet, so it's a sermon to myself, and it's a sermon to us all tonight. It's a one-point sermon. None of these fancy things all beginning with the same letter. I've got one point, and I'll beat you with it till you get it, okay? Okay. My one point is this. You are known by God. Okay? Nod at me, thank you, still awake. And being known by God makes a difference. It's not just information. Being known by God brings transformation. That is my one-point sermon. We can go home now. So a question. I usually ask a question in church, and the answer is usually Jesus or a squirrel. So apart from God or Jesus, let me ask you a quick question. Who knows you the best? And how do you know you are known well? Who knows you? Ray saying Jill knows you the best. How do you know that? Married for 45 years. You know a bit about him. Are there some things that he doesn't know about you? Probably. Okay. Okay. Some things you keep to yourself. Does that involve shopping? Just speaking from my own life. Anyone else? Who knows you the best? Laura. Becca. Okay. I bet there are some things Becca doesn't know about you. Okay. Vanessa, who knows you the best? Your best friend, okay? Simon, who knows you the best? Your wife, okay? Jimmy, who knows you the best? Your wife, okay? Jane, who knows you the best? Your mum. Your mum. Liam, who knows you the best? Your mum. Oh, they're together. It's a good thing. Okay, interesting. Interesting. So I'd like to suggest tonight that the one who knows you the most loves you the best, and that's God. I'd like to suggest to you tonight the one who knows you the most likes you the best. Some people have got a real issue with the fact that God actually likes us. God likes you. I might not do, but God, joking, but God likes you. And that's a risky thing to believe. That we can be known for who we are and completely honestly, warts and all, still be loved and accepted. Because life doesn't always look like that. We live in a world of social media. Becca is 14. She doesn't know what's coming. Becca has introduced me to Snapchat. I have no idea what it's about. Seriously, I sit there, oblivious, like an old person, going, what am I meant to do now? So for those who don't know, Snapchat is an app, and it gives you a filter. You take a selfie, and it gives you a filter, something a bit like this. There you go, laugh at the minister. They were the nicer ones. I'm going to keep it on just because you don't like it. I'll turn it off. I think perhaps in life we all put a filter on our lives. We offer the world a carefully filtered image of ourselves. We show some people one aspect of ourselves. Other people get another. Some people get the cleaned up, I'll show this side of myself while I'm in church filter. I'll look holy whilst I'm in church. And as soon as I get in my car, that's just me, as people get a different filter. And even those who know us well can get sometimes a filtered image of us. Tonight I want to remind you of one single point, that God knows you, and that makes a difference to how you live. That brings freedom, and that brings security. I've been reading all sorts of things about this idea this week. J.I. Packer, a theologian, wrote a fab book called Knowing God, and he said this. What matters supremely there is not, in the last analysis, the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that he knows me, my capitals, I was excited. I am graven, written, on the palm of his hands. I am never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on this sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. Wow. That's good news, isn't it? Thank you. Looking at your faces, it didn't really look like it. You're never out of his mind. Your name is written on the palm of his hand. I got excited by that this afternoon, so I wrote my name on my own hand. And I thought, that's not what it means. Got a bit confused. You're never out of his mind. Scripture tells us that. It's chock-a-block full, right from the beginning to the end, of a God who chases us, of a God who loves us, of a God who calls us to him. It says all the way through, yet you know me, Lord. You see me, you test my thoughts about you. Whoever loves God is known by God. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror, then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And my personal favorite are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. God notices when a hair falls out. Just as well, because my hair falls out. I've got long hair. It goes on the carpet. It drives the husband mad. Goes in the sink. Drives him mad. God notices every time a hair drops out. That's, some of you, that may be more of an issue than others. We'll grieve with you for your hair. Even the hairs on our head are numbered. Unknown. Like God says that he knows even the grains of sand on the beach. What does that say to us about our worth before God? That this is the God that counts and knows every dandruffy bit of hair on our head and knows them. What does that say about our place in relationship with him? That we're noticed. Not a single one of you is insignificant. you are known by the God who put the stars in the sky. And scripture tells us that again and again. I want to remind us afresh of one of the Psalms, Psalm 139. It's a beautiful Psalm of David. We're going to hear just a part of it, and it's going to appear as if by magic on video. Powerful, huh? King David wrote these words. Can we skip on to the next one, Peter? Thank you. There probably wasn't a single individual who didn't know who King David was. Here is his picture. I Googled King David. I love Google images. And there he is playing a pepperoni pizza. That's what it looks like. Famous is not the word for King David. He expanded Israel's territory. He established Jerusalem. He drew up plans for the temple. He was the bee's knees. And he wrote his thoughts on God's thoughts. And it's a celebration of his fame that he's known, not by the nation, not by his servants, not by the rulers of other nations, not by the citizens under his care. He's rejoicing that he is known by God. We probably know the psalm really well. He says, past, present, and future, I am known by God, who knows what I will do, who knows my story, who knows my thoughts, he says. So I wonder who knows you the best. And perhaps we can all think of somebody who knows us really well. Someone who can finish our sentences for us. That's an annoying habit, isn't it? Someone who... yeah, stop doing it. It's not good. Someone who knows exactly our sense of humour, so you know what they're thinking, and you look at each other and you laugh at the same thing. You know what I mean. Becca and I do that all the time. Those people who know how we are wired and know stuff about us, and so know our characters well enough that they can challenge us to change. Some of you here do that for me. Some of you sometimes have the guts to say, Louise, I think you're being a fool. Sometimes I listen. Sometimes I don't. But you only hear that sort of thing from the people that you trust. People who know you with more information to love you to transformation. God knows us and wants to be allowed in so he can begin that work of transformation in our lives. And he made a way for that to happen. We're shortly going to be celebrating Christmas. We celebrate Emmanuel, a God who walks with us, a God who is Jesus, the miracle no one saw coming, God who wraps himself in human flesh as a way to know us, as a way to say, I know what life is like, so I'll live it with you. And I was thinking about all the times in Scripture where Jesus, his knowing of a person, changes the situation. It transforms everything. The woman at the well. Jesus knows that she's had 5 husbands, and the one that she's living with at the moment is not number 6. He knows her. It's not just information. The conversation is about transformation. Because it changes her. It doesn't just change her, it changes the whole town. She goes off and she evangelizes. She gossips the gospel. Let me come and meet the one who's told me everything that there is to know about me. He knows her secrets and yet still wants to give her significance. Zacchaeus, short man, big tree. He climbs a tree because he wants to get a little glimpse of Jesus. He's not a popular man. He's a tax collector. He's been rejected by his community because he's dishonest. Jesus looks up, knows him, knows that he needs an anecdote in his life to rejection So he invites him round for tea, and he's transformed. Knows that he's not perfect, knows that he has made mistakes, knows his shortcomings. He's in no illusion that this man is a rat bag, but still wants to begin that work of transformation. It doesn't rule him out. Again and again, we hear those stories. People who are known back to front, but that doesn't preclude them. Thomas and Peter and King David. King David, flipping heck. King David, he was a rat bag at times. If you don't know why King David was a rat bag, in the back of your Bibles, look up the story of Bathsheba. Oh, it'll make your hair curl. It's a fantastic story. But that doesn't stop God using him. And that's our story too, that all of that debris in our past isn't enough to stop God using us, because he knows us. Psalm 139 reminds us that we are made by a creator. We're knit together. We are known. God knows that I have got two hidden birthmarks. Oh, some of you won't know that. In fact, most of you shouldn't know that because of where they are. God does. Oversharing, sorry. God does because I am made by a creator. God knew that my gallbladder would have a tendency to make stones. That my hair goes curly in the rain because I am created to be known. You are created to be known. There is nothing about you that is not known to God. And so it always makes me laugh that when people come to church, when they've not been before, especially when people come to things like christenings and baptisms, they all come really dressed up. They come really posh and presented, because that's what you do when you go to church. And they get here and think, we're the most overdressed people here. And they think that that's what God expects. And I want to say, you know, God knows what you look like in the bath. God knows our scars and our cellulite, because he made us. He's the creator. He's the author of our story. He's our father. We are his children. He is our redeemer and our savior. And that lovely video did not include all of Psalm 139. There's lots of things where you find Psalm 139. The nice bits, they're on tea towels, they're on lovely Christian coasters. You can get them at the bookshop. This next bit is never on the tea towel. This next bit is never makes it to the fridge magnet. King David, I think the theological term is, goes off on one. He says this: if only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. This is a man who is having a bad day. And I like that. I like that. He's having a full-on hissy fit to God. Full-on rant. And I like that because he can. Because he knows God and knows that God knows him and won't reject him if he's anything less than perfect. And so he can be completely honest. There's a song that I like with these words. It says, come out of hiding, you're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. God knows you. And that makes a difference. Because you can be honest. And you can be intimate. And you can be who you are. God is wanting the you you are when you're annoyed behind a wheel. The you you are when you're frazzled about your workload. The you you are when no one else is looking because he is still looking. The you you want to be when everybody else thinks you're coping and you're actually not. He wants you as you are, but to come to him to transform you. So that's my one-point sermon. It's not just about being known, that's information. God wants transformation. He knows us, but he doesn't want us to be stuck in those places that we find ourselves in. Warped images of ourselves, of our identities and our significance. Wrong thought patterns or sins. He wants those to change because he knows us and knows our potential. King David ends the psalm with these words, "Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know any anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Know me so well that you will test me. Know what makes me anxious and lead me through that into the way everlasting. I'd like to invite the band up. So my one-point sermon that I want you to go away with is knowing that you are known. And that makes a difference. If you allow yourself to be known. So a question to finish with. Where are the places that you need Jesus to step into with you this week? The places where you need to be honest and vulnerable. We've talked about God being our creator, the author of our story, our father and our redeemer. How do you want him to show you what part of himself tonight? We're going to play a short video, and after that the band are going to sing. And I want each of us to spend some time reflecting on our knownness. I don't know if that's a real word. To open ourselves afresh to whatever God has for you. Whatever he wants. Maybe tonight's your night to come out of hiding because you're safe here with him. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, transform you. Allow yourself to be known. Say, God, see me. All I have is yours. Maybe you want to do your own business with God, prayer, as we listen to this video, and then the band will sing.